Agriculture is an ever-changing industry. The way food is grown, raised, and produced continues to evolve. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Rural Perspectives podcast. I'm Adam Albrick with Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Today we'll be talking about a growing aspect within agriculture, value-added agriculture. Here to help us understand this topic is Elise Solstrom, cheesemaker of the Redheaded Creamery in Central Minnesota. Welcome, Elise.
Thank you for having me.
Now, to start off with, it might be a little helpful by actually defining what value-added agriculture is. According to the USDA, value-added ag is a change in the physical state or form of a product that enhances its value. So, Elise, what are your general thoughts on this growing movement?
I think it's awesome. As someone who grew up on a dairy farm and now back at it, it's so empowering to be able to create a commodity product and to turn it into something of higher value, especially in the same day. With us, we milk the cow that morning and it's cheese curds by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so it's just really fun for us not just to have that product, but to be able to directly sell it to the end consumer right on our farm.
Now, as you mentioned, you grew up on a conventional dairy. At what point did you realize that you wanted to come back and add to the operation?
I was actually in high school when I went on the National 4-H Dairy Conference trip all the way to Wisconsin, and we toured Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese, and I had no idea that you could process your own product on your farm, and they were pipelining milk right under the road over to their cheese plant. I literally had that aha moment of, this is what I'm gonna do. And I've always been fascinated with the process of things being made. Even the crayon episode on Mr. Rogers is like my favorite still. And I literally came home and said, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna make cheese. And my parents thought, well, we're excited that you wanna come home. Well, you know, you have to do your research and we'll see what happens. But it went from there.
So at what point did they finally realize, okay, making cheese on this farm is actually doable?
I think it's a continual process. I worked for several cheese companies after college, as well as a food broker, so I got some experience in retail and food production, and especially in artisan cheese, and somewhat proved myself, I guess, enough for them to feel confident that it's time for you to come home and let's get this started.
Now, did you grow up just loving cheese?
I always have really loved cheese. The variety changed over time on the styles that I liked. When I was probably 10, Munster, American style Munster, was my favorite style of cheese. And I still remember getting interviewed as a 4-H'er during a dairy show, being asked what my favorite dairy product was. And I told him Munster cheese. And he thought, what are you talking about? But since then, my experience on the East Coast, and I had some experience in Switzerland with cheeses there, and my tastes have completely evolved on, and I guess I could say I've become a cheese snob in that regard. But cheese is just so darn versatile compared to, you know, I love yogurt, but it's complicated in terms of shelf life and all of that. Fluid milk is really fun because you can do a lot of flavors, but again, the perishability is terrifying as a producer of that. But yeah, we're looking into butter because that's something we really love too. But cheese just seemed like the choice that made the most sense. And we saw it growing in Vermont and Wisconsin very strongly and thought there's no reason Minnesota can't do the same thing.
Now, you mentioned some of your travels. How have those influenced the flavors that you now create today?
Very much so. Even just my little bit of time in Vermont, they're very anti-added flavors and colors and that type of thing. And Wisconsin is very much orange cheddar, and not as much anymore as they once were. But that's what I grew up with, is, you know, Velveeta, just like most people our age or young, older. And so I came home thinking I'm not making any cheeses with any added color or any added flavor. And I didn't at first, but alcohol I wouldn't consider an added flavor, even though it probably technically is, but I wasn't against rubbing or washing anything with beer or hard alcohol or wine or anything. But we do make a garlic cheddar and a honey chipotle cheddar, mostly due to taste and wanting to evolve to what the market wants compared to what we want to make so that we can evolve and continue to stay in business.
I thought it was kind of a neat thing. You guys place a very large focus on sustainability on this farm. How does this factor into your cheesemaking process?
I would say in terms of sustainability in the cheesemaking process, I mean, technically artisan cheesemaking is the opposite of efficiency. We're doing things the hard way, the slow way, the most difficult way, and you find efficiencies within your processes, but when you compare us to Bongards or Kraft, we are completely inefficient. But in our process, we do little things that make a big difference. So the days we make cheese, we collect milk from the cow as she is being milked, and we bypass the plate cooler, so we're receiving 90 degree milk and just pasteurizing as we heat it up, and then we pasteurize it as we reach temperature. So we're avoiding that entire process of cooling it right down to 39 degrees as required if you're hauling it out, and we're skipping that whole process. So we're running less energy in terms of cooling and heating. We're also pumping less. The less you pump milk, the higher quality it will be. So that helps us in that regard. But then also some of our processes in terms of heating and cooling, we're using hot and cold water, and we're feeding that back to cows. We aren't dumping anything out, and that includes our whey, the byproduct of cheesemaking. We're feeding that back to the cows as well. Whey used to be complete garbage to cheesemakers and now has proven to be almost higher value to many. We're not quite the size to make it high enough value for us, but it does replace a significant amount of value in our cows' ration that we can justify feeding it back to them. It's like adding candy to their feed. So that's really fun for us as well.
You're obviously a younger farmer, and for younger generations looking to really break into farming, what role can value added play?
I think with us, we are more people and enjoy reaching out to customers and dealing with the busyness of modern day life than what maybe farmers used to in the past. A lot of people ask, why don't more farmers do this? And I say, well, they deal with cows because they don't want to deal with people. So, but I think as more and more people are going to college and looking for more ways to become part of the farm, they're finding ways to do that by working with people, realizing the gap is huge in terms of product to consumer, and taking advantage of that and trying to be that connection. It is difficult to be young and come back to be a member of a farm. There's a huge financial burden, but that helps us in terms of we have a huge family support, and without my parents, there was no way I could have even thought of being part of our farm business because I just did not have the financial backing for that. So that, as well as the state and federal grants that are available, they're trying to encourage young people to get back into farming. And so that's really awesome. And being able to take advantage of that is completely worth it.
Now, you just mentioned a few resources such as land and financing. Is value added a way to get started without having to compete quite as much for land? Because it's more vertical integration compared to trying to just go out and buy a whole new operation.
Probably. I mean, there's more resources available and you can utilize what's already there versus, right, having to buy more land, which seems almost impossible at our age at this point. But yeah, I think being able to be creative and working directly with the consumer, that's what they want. They want that connection with the person making the product. And I think that's an instant gratification. You can go to the farmer's market and sell your product right there versus having to get yourself in a store and on the shelf.
We are speaking with Elise Schulstrom, cheesemaker at the Redhead Creamery. That's a great segue into the second half of our conversation here. When it comes to promoting your products, you seem to work closely with other farmers who produce anything from their own honey to wine or beer or maple syrup. Anybody who takes a peek inside of your store will notice that for sure. How important is it to have a network of farmers helping to sell each other's products, or at least promote them?
I think it's extremely important. I think that's part of my Vermont experience that probably came back with me is the camaraderie of farmers and our connection with each other. You know, we have something in common, at least, in that we're producing food. And it's just a lot more fun to be able to sell products that I know the people that are producing it, and I can share their story much more effectively and feel proud for them and what we're selling because of that. And it's a lot more fun when you go to events and markets and you know the people you're selling with versus feeling like we're competitors. It's a lot more fun to pair your products together, create a tasting event where people can come and enjoy both of the makers versus just one. Just makes it a whole new experience.
Now, you mentioned marketing before. Traditionally, a farmer or a farming operation produces a raw good, and then the processor is the one who takes it and turns it into a finished product and then sells it. But here, you take care of the whole process. When you started, did you feel that establishing your brand or trying to sell your product was the toughest part?
Yes, and it always will be. When I first started my degree at the U of M, I told my advisors that I want to make cheese. I knew that they didn't have a specific program for that, but this is what I want to do, so help me get there. And they thought, well, anyone can make cheese, but you need to get it sold. And that's the best advice that I still live to this day. And so I studied food marketing more so than production. And the good thing is I really love marketing and I enjoy that aspect of it. But it's such an essential part of what we do and being able to connect with people in terms of the products we're making. And I think just sharing your story versus getting product in their mouth is so much more important because they will connect with you and they won't forget that you exist.
Now, some of your products can actually be found at the Minnesota State Fair, which is a pretty big deal considering there's nearly 2 million people who visit it annually. I believe you and a few ladies in your herd also got a little bit of national TV time this past go around. What's your approach when trying to establish a new retail market?
We are always trying to just go places where we know someone's going to buy. Really, when we first started, because I knew what I wanted to do for so long, I was continually rubbing shoulders with the right people before I was doing anything myself. So the buyers at Lunds and Byerly's, I knew them 5 years before I even made my own product. And different situations like that where they were basically waiting for us to make it so that they could get it on their shelves, because local products are such a hot commodity at this point. But in terms of the state fair, I mean, that was an awesome opportunity for us to be the showcase herd in 2017, but then also be able to feature the fact that we make cheese on our farm as well. I don't know that any other farm has done that yet. And we tried to tastefully take advantage of that situation. And really cool is we were on TV with Al Roker and some of the Twins players were able to milk our cows, and just really cool experiences for us and to really build a social network even more so from that audience that we took advantage of. But really cool for us to have the only fresh cheese curds at the state fair and continually always just thinking ahead of what other people are doing.
With a growing movement of consumers wanting to know where their food comes from, how do you feel those within the value-added crowd can take advantage?
Well, I think they fully can because they have the direct connection with the customer versus, you know, the larger businesses, and I have nothing against larger businesses. Someday maybe we'll be that, but likely not, where they have their salespeople who are the ones connecting with the customer versus the actual maker. And I think that is such a difference in terms of trust and relatability between what you're eating and the person that's making it. There's something about food that builds such a strong connection with people, and it's a fun experience for most. And so being able to be the person that connects them with that is just really empowering.
You also have an aspect of agritourism here on this farm. What type of benefit do you feel this serves?
Well, we live in the middle of nowhere, and I think the fact that we give dairy farm tours is why our store is so busy. Even the St. Cloud Visitors Bureau visited us a couple years ago and said their number one requested tour is for a dairy farm, which was surprising to us, but also an awesome opportunity because we have St. Cloud recruiting people to come visit us an hour away. I think the fact that people need and want to connect with animals is what is driving them here. We give an extensive dairy farm tour where people can pet the baby calves, see where cows are milked, see what they eat, smell everything in the environment, and literally see what we are doing, that we have nothing to hide, and then go and see that cheese can be made right on the same property with that cow's product. It's really awesome, and I think it's something that people are just dying to see, which we didn't really think through that whole process when we first started. Most cheesemakers, they make cheese, they send it out the door, and that's all that they do. And so we have an advantage, but also it makes it more complicated for us too. We have a lot more work to do, and we're always keeping things as clean as we possibly can. And we're always ready to see a new face, even if we're not open. We always see somebody that comes and visits us. So it's a challenge for us because of that, but also a huge opportunity for us to expand in different ways of being an agritourism destination versus just a maker of a product.
Is this something that you wish more farms would kind of get into to really help tie those consumers to the actual producers?
Yes, I think the more the merrier. If you could create a weekend destination trip. We're always working on, we're making a map right now for central Minnesota and all the places you can go and visit if you decided to take a weekend vacation. Because we really aren't that far from major metro areas. And the more we can get people out to rural Minnesota and see what we can all create and make it an experience for them instead of just coming and buying something to eat, the more that can do that, the better, I think.
What advice would you give to someone exploring a value-added venture?
I would say do a lot of research and visit the people who are doing it. And ask the hard questions like, what went wrong and what didn't work? Because we found that was the number one thing we never got told was the bad things that happened. And we understand why. It's kind of like having a baby, you kind of forget how painful it is after enough time has gone by and then you do it again. But I think it's the same with starting up a new business that you forget the pains, but if you had a little warning, you could maybe be just that much more ahead and get through it a little easier. We had growing pains and we still do, and that all makes us stronger, obviously, but the more information you can gather, the more places you can visit, the more unique places that aren't all the same, the better. I think we visited at least 50 to 70 cheese companies around the country, and we still do, and try to learn more and change what we're doing to make it better. And I think that would be the biggest advice I could give, is to not be afraid to ask questions, because this industry is really excited and willing to share.
Now, you mentioned some resources earlier, such as grants. Where could people potentially find those grants?
I would go with Extension or the State Department of Ag. Our Minnesota is awesome in terms of showing us what resources are available and making sure we're taking advantage of them. So I would go there first, and then their state can connect them with any federal opportunities that might be available. But either the state or even checkoff programs within their industry can also be extremely helpful.
If somebody actually wants to taste some of your products, how can they go about finding you?
Thank you. Yes. Well, they can visit us and they can just Google Redhead Creamery and it'll bring us right up and take you to us. But we are online at redheadcreamery.com. We're all over Facebook and Instagram at Redhead Creamery. And then our products are located primarily in the Midwest at this point. We're at a lot of specialty food markets in the Twin Cities. We're in Chicago, Wisconsin, and the Dakotas as well.
Well, Elise, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for stopping by, or I should say, thanks for chatting with us
yes,
today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
That's Elise Schulstrom, cheesemaker at the Redhead Creamery. That's a wrap for this episode of the Rural Perspectives podcast, which is a production of Egg Country Farm Credit Services. To get more great content, please visit www.eggcountry.com.